KAXC's Tuesday morning show strives to take an in-depth look at some natural resource-based issues important to our region. We hope to discuss not only the problems, but also highlight some creative solutions. Today, we're continuing our series on the decline of forest birds. 4 years ago, Amanda Mahaffey from the Forest Stewards Guild informed us of the Forestry for Birds program being initiated across the U.S. And our guest today is Mike Lynch, Forest Stewards Guild from Lake State Region Director, to talk about the recently completed Forestry for Minnesota Birds project. And Mark Jacobs, our producer for this series, joins us as well. Good morning.
Morning. Hello.
Yeah, thanks
for
joining us.
Hey, good morning. So, Mike, I'm really curious. You guys have been working on this for a little bit, and you've come up with a report. Mark held up a copy just a minute ago, and let me have a glance at the title, and I look forward to getting my hands on that book and learning more. But just in general, what can you tell us that you've learned? What should we be doing as woodland owners to encourage more birds?
Yeah, well, thanks for having us here today. You know, Mark's been working on some of this stuff long even before we got going on this. And so some of the practice in Aiken County has certainly been a great demonstration to what this kind of turned into. So same product as you heard 4 years ago from Amanda Mahaffey that has kind of been brewing up throughout the different parts of the country. So we've got a renewed interest in folks managing forests with birds in mind. And so one of the great things we have here as an asset in Minnesota is a longstanding research group up at the Natural Resource Research Institute in Duluth, Minnesota, who's been collecting, I don't know, probably 30 years worth of data at this point on what kinds of things they see in the forest, whether it be created through management or just a natural occurrence, a tree blowing down or whatever it happens to be, on what is really helping bird populations. So one of the main goals with this project was to essentially consolidate that information that is in the kind of research sphere into a user-friendly, approachable document and set of recommendations for landowners, foresters, loggers, kind of the whole group that would be implementing some of these practices to try and help augment our bird populations.
And where did that take you? I mean, obviously lots of information to cover and lots of things to work through, but what's the one thing I can do on my 40 acres to help the birds?
Yeah. So yeah, great question to kind of synthesize down. We took 30 years of research and we turned it into I got the book in front of me. What do we got? 60 some pages. And then to reduce it even farther to answer your question, we have essentially a single table and we turned that into a one page handout that we can provide folks. And basically that breaks down to kind of 10 key things across habitats. Now, keep in mind, this product that we've done is for all the forested regions of Minnesota. So the forests down in Houston County and the driftless are very different from the Cook County forests and same thing over in Itasca County. There's variations, but across those, a few of the key things, having kind of structural diversity in the forest. So having, you know, not necessarily that even stand of height, but having some gaps in there kind of creates these micro habitats for insects and birds to thrive on. Some large diameter trees and some young forests, both of those. So essentially a whole bunch of different aspects certainly play in. And water is always a key component for just about all life as well. But a lot of what we landed on through this process was that the standard forestry practices that are practiced by your consulting foresters, your county foresters, really just some small tweaks to that is really all this book landed on through some of that research stuff is really a lot of what we're doing on the landscape can really help breeding bird populations. And it's a matter of maybe changing a few things, a different species that you leave behind, or a different formation of how you would leave behind a few trees, things like that. I don't know if Mark has some additional add-ons that he'd give to that
Yeah,
response.
it's kind of a the concept of it's not what you take but what you leave behind, you know, that type of approach. But John, like your question talking about what you can do as an individual landowner with 40 acres, one of the things that's really lacking is really that communication with all of the neighbors. You know, because when the bird is coming in there, they're not looking at your 40 acres
Yeah,
necessarily. They're
they don't
not
see my
seeing the
fence line.
lines. So it's like, I don't remember, Mike, we were kind of looking at like 2,500 acre, like 4 square miles, or basically the neighborhood that the birds would be looking at, you know. And if you can have diversity across that large patch, that neighborhood, by working together with other landowners, I think that would be a big important thing for birds.
Well, I Mike, you don't know this, but Mark, you do. That I have my 40 is some high ground, some low ground. The high ground was planted into pine plantations in the mid 60s, and so I have mature red pine. But over the years, as I've thinned the stand to keep to keep growth happening, I've also sort of tried to recreate a more natural forest, because a stand of red pines, 6 by 6, is not a natural forest. But where I have dieback, or I maybe find some trees with double tops or whatever, I'll sort of cut and clear an opening in that stretch, and then maybe somewhere else I'll let the pines be a little tighter. And my whole idea is to make it look less like a plantation and more like a natural forest, which seems to be the right way to go.
Yeah, that's very much in line with kind of what we're looking at here. One of the kind of really interesting take homes to me that I didn't really realize coming into this is that across habitats, and not just in forests, but also in grassland systems, the bird research has really indicated that birds really key into structure more than species. And I didn't quite realize that. I mean, there's certainly some species, oaks and things like that, that have a lot more, food resources through the acorns and other insects feeding on them. But interestingly, the structure is really the key thing. So some of that work you're doing there to kind of create, some gaps, some ability for the birds and heat and things to kind of move up and down through that column are really important aspects there.
I find birches are coming in, balsams are coming in. I've got a lot of undergrowth, hazel. I wish there were fewer hazel and more of some other types, but I've got right now a pretty good crop of red elderberries, which is probably making the robins and the white-throated sparrows very happy. But it's just and I have a spot where I have some really old mature aspen. One has got an eagle's nest in it, and it amazes me that it hasn't blown over. It's been there since 1995, so it's had a few years of some strong winds, and I don't know why that tree stands, but it does. And the pileated woodpeckers like that area because of those big mature aspens. Right next door to that, I've got a stand of young aspen that are coming up. So try and keep it varied. Try to keep it, as I said, less like a plantation and more like a forest.
Mike,
that's great.
You are with the Forest Stewards Guild, and you are the Lake States Region Director. Can you tell us what the Forest Stewards Guild does and what your role is, what you do besides the forestry for birds?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So the Forest Stewards Guild, we're celebrating our 30th anniversary this year. So national nonprofit organization based in Santa Fe, New Mexico, practicing and promoting ecological forestry is kind of our baseline focus here. And so looking at ways that we can inform our forest practices by looking at natural processes that would have shaped forests over time, bringing an ecological approach into that. And so that manifests itself differently in different parts of the country. So I'm based here in Minnesota and work broadly on projects around forest stewardship in the Great Lakes region. But that can look very different in different aspects. So, you know, one of the things we do is work with prescribed fire practitioners as a historic tool for tending our forests of Minnesota. And so that's another forest stewardship thing we're doing. And so that, and bringing in this forestry for birds. So it kind of runs the range, and it's kind of a neat opportunity in my role to be able to work some with birds, some with, you know, land management, some with the timber sale stuff, some with prescribed fire things. So kind of broadly across the spectrum of tools of forest stewardship. Also to be important to mention that we have a membership component to the Forest Stewards Guild. And so Mark here has been a member of the Guild. I'm not sure if it's for 30 years, but for many years. And so I don't know if he can give a little bit of information on what that has meant to him, I guess, over the years. But
well, it's been a good experience just because you kind of get to communicate with like-minded people across the entire nation. I was on the membership committee for a number of years, and we were working with people on both coasts and down in the mountainous regions. Got to compare notes. And, you know, it's just a good way to communicate and network, I think. One of the things I'd like to mention, things I learned through this whole process from the bird people is, you know, I always had this vision of, like, a golden-winged warbler, for example. You manage for young forest or brushy habitat for golden-winged warblers in the nesting habitat. But when they're young fledges, they actually go to mature forests. So, and I can't remember what other species that was. It the wood thrush, Mike, that they were talking about, where they nest in mature forests, but a lot of times they move into younger forests to feed and all that. So a lot of it has to do with having diversity across that landscape we were talking about. It's not just, like Mike said, it's the structure, not the trees.
I think it's quite interesting, the point you brought up, Mike, about the idea, you know, that you want to sort of get together with your neighbors. And like my neighbor has hay fields. He also has some wooded land, but he has hay fields. And that can bring in bobolinks, and every once in a while I'll see a meadowlark. But the idea, you know, let's just say I was in a neighborhood, in a city, or here in Grand Rapids, and I had a lot. The idea of sort of talking to everybody around you and sort of, you know, getting together on what the plan is going to be is kind of intriguing. I like the idea. I know one of the things that seems to happen a lot in the city is that when a tree dies, it's gone. They never leave a snag. I have snags all over because I've got 40 acres and I just don't have the time or energy to go after them, nor do I realize. I also realize that they are, you know, a good source of food and homes for a lot of birds. But that doesn't always happen in town, and sometimes you need to educate your neighbor who maybe has that dead tree and say, hey, it's in a spot where it's not going to hurt anything. Why don't you just leave that? It'll be good for all of us. Yeah. So that kind of communication.
Yeah, and that's a key thing. Obviously safety is paramount. So making sure that they're safe snags left in an area. Obviously, there's always some risk, of course, wherever it's left. But you know, we think of everyone's seen birdhouse, right? Like, but what that birdhouse is creating is we're creating, in the absence of having a snag tree for a woodpecker to have carved out an opening, and then the chickadee to have moved in after the woodpecker carved it out and things like that. We're creating that in the absence of this, but really what the birds that live in birdhouses, every one of those birds that live in a birdhouse, what they actually want to live in is a cavity in a tree. We're doing a good job replicating that in some cases with where we can't have snag trees. But anyway.
So now that the Forestry for Birds project is out there, what are your next steps with it?
Yeah, so that's the phase we've entered. So last 2 weeks ago, I guess, Mark was over at, we had a meeting at the Cloquet Forestry Center to kind of look at what are some of the next steps here. And we had funding to develop this project. We're kind of trying to piece some things together to get the next phase out there. But what we're really trying to accomplish is getting a lot of these books in the hands of people who can essentially follow a little bit of that train the trainer model. And so we're trying to get as many of these opportunities to interact, you know, coming on this show here this morning or talking to other folks about knowing that this exists and then trying to get it in as many hands as possible. Especially want to make sure we can get it in, you know, the hands of our foresters out there that are going to be interacting with a variety of different landowners and try and really amplify the impact there. So keep a lookout for different updates around. We'll be traveling around the state, kind of handing out books as we're able when we have printed copies available and kind of essentially teaching folks about what's involved here.
We're speaking
with a very attractive book. I mean, the graphics are incredible. The people we had working on that, colorful pictures, all that kind of stuff. And I'm going to try to finagle a few copies away and maybe donate for the pledge drive coming up. So when people sign up to pledge, they can get a copy of this book, get it in the hands of some more people.
Wonderful. We're speaking with Mike Lynch, Forest Stewards Guild, Lake States Regional Director. Mike, how might, you know, if somebody's listening this morning and maybe they aren't, you know, interested enough, or maybe they don't feel like training trainers and they don't need the book, but you said you had a sort of a one page 10 item list that could be available. How would people get in touch with you to get that?
Yeah, they can contact me, or they could, the easiest way probably to do would be to go on the Forest Stewards Guild website and then go to the Forestry for Birds tab that's on there. And there is, we've kind of been working on these projects in a variety of states. So you got to go to the Minnesota section, but in there you can download a PDF copy of the book. You can download the, I forget what we call it. I think trifold is maybe what we're calling the one pager. That one really does a good job breaking down. Here are the 10 key things to think of and the 10 key things to look at in the forest. And we've got a graphic on there that allows you to essentially assess your forest. And I think it'd be great on your 40 to grab that one pager, just kind of go out and look. We called it the handy guide. So it's like 10 fingers and you can kind of count on your fingers. What of these 10 things do you have, and which maybe should you add to your forest management if you can?
Wonderful. Yeah, thank you. Mike, it's been a pleasure chatting with you this morning. Mark, as always, thank you for bringing this to our attention. You are a guide to a lot of things that would otherwise go unnoticed, and I appreciate the work that you do. Both of you, thank you for joining us this morning. Mike Lynch, the director of the Lake States region of the Forest Stewards Guild, and Mark Jacobs, retired land commissioner from Macon County and producer par excellence. Mm-hmm. Thanks both of you for joining us this morning. Been a great morning. Looking forward to more.
Once again, find more at foreststewardguild.org. Thanks, Mike, and thanks, Mark.